Ezekiel 22. What kind of demeanor should Christians have? In my mind, Christians ought to be bubbly, right? Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew who asked you for water, you'd ask me for water, and I'd give you that abundant life, that water that just flows abundantly. Give me some of that water. So as I think of Christians and I think about heaven and I think about what God's done for us and I think about our sins being washed away, I think, man, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. And then I read Ezekiel and I think we ought to be the saddest people in the world. And chapter 21, and I know that's not where I directed you, but go to chapter 21 and look at verse 6. And this is God speaking to Ezekiel. And he says, sigh, therefore, thou son of man. How many of you can do that? How many of y'all pretty good? How many of your husbands are real good at that? How many of your kids are good at that? See, we didn't know it, but the teenagers were leading us to Scripture. Amen. That's going to be my new demeanor. If you see me around, sigh, therefore, with the breaking of thy loins, and with bitterness sigh before their eyes. Remember Jesus says, when you fast, shave, slick your hair over, and don't, you know, smile, don't put on any kind of impression that you're fasting, because fasting is a private thing between you and God, right? Not something we go, oh, I'm fasting today. And we probably all know somebody who's done that. Bragging, I'm so holy, I'm so righteous, I'm fasting today. They leave the first part off. But it's implied. Look here. Ezekiel says, sigh, and let them, God says to Ezekiel, you sigh and you let them see it. Because I want them to ask you what's wrong. Isn't that why we sigh? Isn't that why we pout? Do we pout? Does anybody in here pout? No. This is just for confession. No pointing fingers. Anybody in here pout? Some of them. Okay. Some of them say, yeah, me. I'm the one. Why do we do that? We do it so people will ask. We do it so that people will say, what's wrong with you? And what do we say? Nothing. Right? Come on now, y'all know I'm preaching today. Y'all know that's truth right there. It shall be, verse 7, when they say to you, wherefore sighest thou? Okay, y'all need to write that one down. And next time somebody around you is pouting, you need to say, wherefore sighest thou? Then thou shalt answer, for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, every spirit shall be faint, all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh. Ezekiel, why are you sighing? Because I know what's ahead. And I read Ezekiel, and I think Christians ought to be the saddest people in the world. I know that heaven's ahead. I'm looking forward to that. But I look at what's ahead for our country, and it saddens me. Guys, we complain over inconveniences today. It's nothing compared to what's going to happen. We're on the road. We're marching down that road. We saw what happened. Look around the world everywhere that communism has been embraced. And look at what wonderful countries they've turned out. So that people will build a makeshift raft and take their chances with the sharks to go that 100 miles from Cuba to Miami, to the Keys. Trying to get to Florida, trying to get to America. Because of the land of the free. And yet, through our enlightened universities and education, and you can't say public school education, it's private too. The education system, we have indoctrinated a generation of people who believe communism is the answer. And government is the answer. We have conditioned generations to rely on government, and that's what's happening now on a greater scale, more than ever before. Sigh. Because of the crumbling morality, the diluted faith, the deterioration of Christian values, and the rise of fear. Sigh. See, nobody wants to talk about that. It doesn't make us feel good. It doesn't make us happy. It doesn't make us leave church and say, boy, I'm sure glad I went today. I feel so encouraged now. No, today we leave. We've got to open our eyes. We've got to open other people's eyes to the reality of what we're facing. Guys, look at the history or the prophecy that's been fulfilled in the last several years, and look at what's happening, and look at where we're going, and if people don't get saved, they're going to miss out. If people, I stood in a group of people the other day, and I said, look, I know some of you in here don't believe in Jesus, but I'm telling you, all the signs are there, and if you didn't believe until now, you better open your eyes and see, we're there. You better put your faith in Christ. You better read the book of Revelation. You better read the Bible and see that if you didn't believe it before, now's the time to embrace the Word of God and say, I get it now. Sigh. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We know this by heart, most everybody in this room. But I don't want to just read verse 14. I want to go back to verse 13, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And verse 13 says this, if I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, by the way, this second wave of COVID, the first wave didn't affect a lot of the people that we knew, did it? I know some of you in here have family members that died in the first wave, but this wave, it seems like it got a lot more personal for a lot more people. If I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble them, who? The Christians, God's people, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble them and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Isaiah chapter 6, God says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? You see, as we witness what's going on around us today and we look at it in the framework of God's calendar, of God's prophecy, we say, how can it get better? How can we turn it around? How can we make a difference? God says, if my people will pray, God says, who shall I send? Who will go? Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 24. Son of man, say unto her, speaking about Israel, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. No relief. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Now think about a phrase like that. The prophets are conspiring. And you look at what's going on in America today. One of the targets is the Word of God. Somebody sent me a survey and says, well, you know, do you use the King James only? King James only They say, what is it that brought you to this? Because if it's not the same, it's different. How can we as Christians, as a church, take the Word of God and have multiple versions of it and tell everybody, well, that's the truth. That's the Word of God. But it doesn't say the same. They're all the Word of God. Guys, that's confusing. Not only is that confusing, that's evil. What did the serpent challenge Eve? She challenged him on what God said, God's Word. If you just question God's Word, that's all it takes. That's a conspiracy that's been going on in this country for decades, where pastors and churches embrace false perversions of the Bible. And not only embraced it, but distributed it and maligned anybody that's a King James only. You see, I'm the kook. I'm the fool. Because I won't change Bibles. It's the same strategy that's been used for centuries. It's a conspiracy. I got an idea. How about you get it down and just read it? Just read it. You know how many people who are illiterate taught themselves how to read by using a King James Bible? It is the Word of God. There's a conspiracy among the prophets of this land, the preachers, the pastors of this land, to move people away from the Word of God, to cause them to question it, to cause them to doubt it, to cause them to embrace a lighter religion, a less aggressive religion, a less narrow religion that says, as long as you're sincere, it doesn't matter what you believe. Why? Because they're wanting to march toward that one world religion where everybody's in the same boat and it's okay, doesn't matter what you believe, we're all just going to get along. By the way, it's going to happen. If you're concerned about the growth of other religions, you should know that at one point it's all going to merge together. Under one world domination. You don't have to believe me. By the way, if you read some other perversion, it might not even be in there, but I'm telling you, it's in the book. The Bible says it's going to pass. Sigh. The prophets are conspiring. The churches are conspiring. You say, oh, Pastor, they're not conspiring. Sure they are. They're in collusion. I don't mean that they're meeting in back rooms, smoke-filled rooms, making agreements, but they're doing the same thing and letting each other get away with it. Like ravening the prey, they have devoured souls and taken the treasure and the precious things. They've made her many widows in the midst thereof. I mean, what do we have, self-help books by these pastors? That's how some of them get so rich. They sell books. I'm not against selling books. I'm not against writing books. They've taken advantage of people and they've made themselves into superstars. It's been about becoming rich, multimillionaires, driving their sports cars and asking you to send them $100 a month. Verse 26. Her priests have violated my law. Who are the priests? What do priests do? They pray, don't they? They represent the people to God. They pray for them. This is us. Got the priests and the priests. They profane my holy things. They put no difference between holy and profane. There's no distinction. No distinction. A reckless disregard for God's word. For God's standard. No distinction between right and wrong. Whatever you want to do. Feels good, do it. No judgment. Nothing's ever wrong. It's your own conscience. It says, violated my law and profaned my holy things. Princes, verse 27. Who are the princes? Leaders. We could say government, but it's leadership. Abusing the people to enrich themselves. Hey, newsflash, those people at the Capitol up the road and in D.C. work for us. Supposed to. Supposed to be servants of the people. That's gone, isn't it? To enrich themselves. By the way, that trickles down into every level of ravening wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls. You know what it's called? The taste of power. Boy, haven't we witnessed that in the last year and a half? They get a little control, get a little power. By the way, you give them more, they never give it back. They never give power back. They never give control back. Y'all didn't know you're coming to civics class today, did you? It's nothing new. But you know what God told Ezekiel to do? He says, show some resistance to. Don't just act like, you know, it's wrong. Guys, the days we're living in are telling us a story. Verse 28, her prophets with untempered mortar, propping everybody up with superficial preaching that creates no bond. What does the mortar do? Doesn't it bring it together? Doesn't it pull it all together? Does the preaching that we're hearing, that we're receiving, is the word of God and the teaching that we're getting from our leaders, does it draw us closer to God and bond us with God? And does it bond us together as brothers and sisters in Christ? Because if it's not, it's daubed with mortar. Untempered mortar. Untested. It doesn't hold us together. Guys, we need the Word of God that's going to put us together as brothers and sisters in Christ and going to connect us with God. Going to empower our prayer lives. Going to strengthen our walk with God. It's not just go to church, sing a couple of songs, and endure 20 minutes of preaching. It's supposed to be connecting our heart and our soul with God Almighty and bringing us to an invitation, an altar call, a point of recognition and say, God, I could do better. And of commitment, God, I will do better. But as long as we just go to church and treat it like religion, and don't work on our relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with God Almighty. Working on those relationships and making them stronger. He's talking to us. Divining lies, saying, thus saith the Lord, God hath not spoken. Preaching stuff that I saw a thread online this week. You know, this amazing book, if you'll just get this book of sermons. I got a book of sermons. You understand what I preach is not original? I'm stealing it from Paul and Jesus and Peter and Ezekiel. It's not, but it's me working with them. It's not me taking somebody else's sermon offline. Well, did you get the idea somewhere? Yeah, by reading my Bible. Pastor told me years ago, I was driving to seminary, was going to seminary that day. He said, Brother Derek, if you read your Bible, you'll always have something to preach. Imagine that. Telling God said stuff and God didn't even say it. They've used oppression, exercised robbery, vexed the poor and needy. Oppress the stranger wrongfully. Superficial preaching. Bitterness. Lack of pity. In other words, we're in a mess. What's wrong? We're in a mess. Look at this, verse 30. and I stand among them. That should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, and that I should not destroy it. You see, we read a verse back there that said, if my people which are called by my name. We read a verse back there that said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And you know what Isaiah said? Here am I. Send me. Now he says to Ezekiel, I was looking for somebody, one person. As I look at what's going on in the world and I say it's time to rain down judgment. By the way, I want to go to heaven. I'm looking forward to the rapture. But I'm telling you that when Jesus comes and takes us out, people that are left behind are in trouble. Well, but they'll recognize what's happened and they'll have the Left Behind series and they'll have all of our and all of our tapes and everything. And so they'll be able to go back and get the preaching and get saved. In that day, there will be a strong delusion so that even the very elect would believe a lie. There'll be preachers in Israel preaching the gospel. There'll be a conversion. There'll be an army of evangelists of 144,000 preaching the gospel. I'm telling you that between now and then, those who are left behind will be hurt in tribulation. You think it's bad now. By the way, he said the only ones who can be saved are the ones who don't receive the mark. But you won't be able to buy or sell if you don't have the mark. I know, that's just prophecy. It could never happen, right? Guys, we're there. If you know somebody that needs to get saved, you need to talk to them today. You say, well, I'm not sure if they're saved. You need to talk to them today. People need Jesus. They need to confess their sin and accept Christ as their Savior. Because I'm telling you, today, it's how urgent it is. And if he doesn't come back today, and next week you come back and you say, well, you said today. Today! You know what the Bible says? Today! Now is the day of salvation. I sought for a man among them. Someone who would just stand between me and them and just look to me. Moses did and say, but God, spare them. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for somebody who'll stand in the way and say, but God, not yet. Did y'all read the rest of the verse? But found none. I found none. Nobody that cared. Nobody to make up a hedge. Nobody to stand in the gap. Nobody who say, I know God, I know it's bad, and I know they're sinful, and I know they're wicked, but not yet. Not yet because I want my neighbor to get saved. Not yet because I want my husband to get saved. Not yet because I want my children to get saved. Not yet because I want my boss to get saved or my employees to get saved or whatever. You see, here we are saying, even so, come Lord Jesus. Oh, we can't wait to get to heaven. And Ezekiel says, put the brakes on, guys. We need to show the world that we're sad that they haven't turned to Christ. We need to show the world that we're heartbroken, the condition of our country. And so while we're over here excited about the rapture, remember God said, found none. Remember what Isaiah said. I'll go. I'll do it. Who's going to stand in the way of judgment? Who's going to stand in the way? Not saying, God, you can't, but saying, God, please don't. Who's going to do it? Name sins and call out certain sins. They're evil and they're wicked and they're straight from the pits of hell. God says, get between me and them and you defend them. You help them. You reach them. You love them. Who will stand in the gap? Who will live holy? Who will point others to Christ? Or who will just say, well, I'm going to heaven. If the attitude of the church is, I'm going to heaven, so why should I care? We might as well shut the doors and go to the house. We are the ones who are supposed to stand in the gap. And we've got to renew our commitment to do that. As we stand and consider what's at stake and consider what we could do. Guys, we can make a difference. You can make a difference. I can make a difference. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We pray that you would draw us to you. We pray that you would make us useful. God, we know people. We love people who do not have faith. And as much as we want to go to heaven, as much as we look forward to the sound of that trumpet and that call to go home, we realize that you've called us to stand in the gap. To pray for a delay, to pray for more time, to pray that you will wait until they believe. God, connect our hearts, our minds with somebody who needs Jesus. God, I will go. I'm willing. Give us that heart. Who will stand in the gap? I will. Who will make the change? I will. God, give us the energy and the compassion, the pity in our heart to love others, even with all the wickedness. Help us to love others. In Jesus' name. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you? Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Won't you pray right now from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I know Jesus died for my sins. I put my trust in Him. And I give my life to you and ask you to save my soul. Maybe you've already been saved, but you're ready to bury the past in the waters of baptism. You're ready to be baptized. This is your opportunity. Maybe you just say, I'm tired, I'm weary. I'm hardened and calloused by the sin and the wickedness and the evil, the disregard. Oh, if the church is lost, there is no hope. We've got to love sinners. We've got to reach out to them. That's what we're here to do. Who will go for us? Here am I. Send me. All right. Anything before we're dismissed? Glad you're here today. Come back tonight for another encouraging sermon. Guys, I love the Lord and I'm looking forward to heaven. But Ezekiel said, put the brakes on, guys. We got work to do. And we know people who need Jesus and we've got to be out there reaching them. Tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Don't forget, you are invited Thursday, 11:30 here in the sanctuary for the adoption hearing. Okay? By the way, no storm. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes.
We may get some wind and some rain, but we won't get the hardest part of it, and it looks like it's weakened quite a bit. So thank God for that. Anything else? Let's go to the Lord and dismiss a prayer. I'm going to ask you if you would. Brother Andy dismisses, please.